We're going to look at God's Christmas, doing Christmas God's way. And so I want to read to you Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, and then we'll go into the Word. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee to the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And so when we look at the story of Christmas, we look at a story that we've been celebrating now 2,000 plus years that's gone on, and we have many traditions that are different all across our world. Most of you know that in 1917, the Bolsheviks took over in Russia, and communism, which is an atheistic belief, shut down the churches almost, but they couldn't shut down Christmas. Even today, they have Christmas songs that they sing, carols they call Koyoda, or Father Christmas songs. Christmas trees are still common in Russia. They don't call them Christmas trees anymore. They call them New Year's trees now. And they have a Santa Claus, but they call him Grandfather Frost. And so even in a communist nation, there are still some celebrations of Christmas. Whenever the children can, they go from house to house in the wintertime, and they have sleighing parties that are part of their Christmas celebrations. In Ireland, the Irish children enjoy Christmas cheer the same way we do, but not on such a lavish scale. They have a beautiful practice of lighting candles in their windows, and any passerby that's on hard times are welcomed into their homes. They will feed that person, give them lodging for the night, send them on their way the next day with a little money for spending, making the idea that there's always room in the inn for any traveler. Because it goes back to the idea of Christ when there was no room in the inn for him. Some people celebrate Christmas Eve, and some people celebrate Christmas morning. It doesn't matter how you do it. The important thing is that you do it the way God tells us to do it. So I want to bring you 10 different things about how God celebrated Christmas. The first thing is God celebrated Christmas, the first one, in the midst of chaos. It was a crazy time in the Roman Empire. God does Christmas in the midst of all kinds of trouble. When Caesar Augustus issued the decree that the whole world had to go back to their great-grandparents' place To be registered, David had to go up to Bethlehem. You know, way back 500 years before Jesus was born, the Bible said he was going to be born in Bethlehem. And it took a Gentile ruler's law to force Joseph to go back to Bethlehem. Sometimes we look at the laws in our nation, and I just led a few of those things today, and we look and we say, like Joseph, or not Joseph, Jacob did years ago, Jacob, with all the things going on, said, this is all against me. The truth of the matter is, it was not all against him. It was all for him. And when we look at the crazy things that are going on in our nation today, and the chaos all around us, remember, God's still in charge. Nothing can happen unless he allows it to happen. And sometimes we say, Lord, I don't understand. And I got to tell you, sometimes I don't understand. But God is in charge. He said these things would happen. In the midst of the chaos all around us, don't stop celebrating the birth of your Lord. Because in just a few more years, even the youngest among us, just a few more years, we're going to live where there'll never be chaos again. And when I talk about Eric, he's, I don't know, 16, 17, 15. So we would say Eric on Norm would have how many more years left? People are living to be 90 pretty regular. But those of you getting a little older, how old is 80 or 90 now? Does it seem like forever like it used to? Doesn't seem like forever to me anymore, getting closer. But the good news is there's going to come a time pretty soon for me, probably within the next 20 years, I am never going to see chaos again. And so I can celebrate Christmas in the midst of all this craziness, because pretty soon I'm going to be celebrating Christmas in heaven. And the chaos will be gone. Heaven, there will be no more crazy rules, crazy laws, working against God's will. And so we can rejoice. God did Christmas with others in mind. As a child, most of us, Christmas was about what? It was about what I'm going to get this year, about the excitement of the food and the cousins and all the things. It was all about me. But as we get older, we realize it's not all about me anymore. It's about the family. It's about getting together with others. It's about caring and sharing. You know, it's interesting, the first one that the Lord shared, the good news that the Messiah had been born, wasn't the priest, it wasn't the government authorities, it was to one of the most despised group of people in Israel. We look at shepherds and we think, well, that's a good occupation, but they were not considered good. I don't know if you knew it or not, but shepherds in that day could not testify in any court in the land. Because shepherds were considered the lowest of the low at that time. Their words were not to be taken because they were liars. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Whoops, verse 8, Dave. This time. We can get there. There we go. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So he went first to the shepherds. God had others in mind, even others that people thought were of no value at all. We've got good news to share. And regardless of what you think of other people, if the Lord opens the door of opportunity, take the opportunity. Because it really is not just about you. It's about others that don't know the good news yet. God did Christmas in keeping with his word. He did it exactly the way that his word said it was going to be done. And I want to encourage you this Christmas, do Christmas according to the way God says to do it. In Isaiah 7:14, he says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means, of course, God with us. That was fulfilled in Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Ghost. In Genesis 49:10, it says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." The promise was fulfilled in that in Luke 3:23. "And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as he was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. From that time on, Jesus began to preach the kingdom of God." In Jeremiah 23, verse 5, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice on the earth. And in his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell in safety. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." That's the name that Jesus Christ is going to be called. Now let me ask you, is Israel dwelling in safety today? It didn't happen. He came the first time to offer himself as their king. They rejected him. He's coming the next time, and when he comes, he's going to give faith to every Jewish person. And they are going to believe the next time he comes. And from that time on, he is going to rule according to the word of God, with a rod of iron. He's going to rule and they're going to have a choice. That was fulfilled in Luke chapter 3, verse 28, "which was the son of Michal, which was the son of Adi, which was the son of Kosam, which was the son of Ilabdam, who was the son of Ur, which was the son of Joz, who was the son of Eleazar, which was the son of Joram, which was the son of Mattai, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Simeon, which was the son of Judah, who was the son of Joseph, who was the son of Jonan, who was the son of Eliam, which was the son of Meli, which was the son of Manan, which was the son of Mattai, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David, which was the son of Jesse, which was the son of Obed, which was the son of Boaz, who was the son of Solomon, who was the son of Nathan, which was the son of Amminadab, which was the son of Aram, which was the son of Esrom, which was the son of Phares, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Jacob, who was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham, which was the son of Terah, which was the son of Nahor, which was the son of Sharak, which was the son of Regu, who was the son of Phalak, which was the son of Heber, which was the son of Selah." All those men were involved in God's plan. He fulfilled it all. And in Micah 5:2, he said, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though there be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." And so, the Bible said it was going to be fulfilled, and it was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he born king of the Jews? For we've seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least of among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor which shall rule my people Israel. Now when he asked the high priest where he was to be born, they knew exactly where he was to be born. You know, there's no record that any of them ever went to see. Imagine that. We've seen his star. We've come all the way from the east, probably a 3-4 month trip to get there. But nobody cared. They knew the theology, they knew the Word of God, but they never checked it out themselves. You know, there are many people that know the Word of God enough to know what Jesus claims, but they've never come to him themselves to receive him as their Savior. It's a terrible situation for many people. God did Christmas for an extended period of time. What we just read there in Matthew indicates, you know, when you go to Christmas festival, you see them coming, the shepherds coming, and the wise men are there at the same time. When we put up our nativity scenes, the wise men are there, the shepherds are there, the sheep are there. Do you know there was a 2-year lapse between the time of Jesus' birth when the wise men came? Christmas isn't just meant to be celebrated one time a year. We should be celebrating Christmas all year long. God loved you and me enough to give his son for us. That should be cause for celebration for each of us. One of the things I would suggest, and we've done this at our house lately, when we open presents, how does it usually go? You have one person passing them out. Here's for Harry, here's for Jim, here's for Bill, and everybody tears into them and rips them open, and it's over in how long? About 5 minutes, it's done. Everybody's got their presents. Everybody's ready to go home. How much better would it be, instead of rushing through this thing, if somebody would call off the name and everybody would watch that person open their present and rejoice together? How long would it last? You might have a couple hours with your family. We don't stick together long enough to really enjoy the season. We don't get through the idea that there's more to Christmas than just the presents. I can't encourage you enough again. If you get the opportunity at your particular gathering, if you can just read the story out of Matthew or Luke, it doesn't matter which, but get the idea through why we're here. It's not just presents. God did Christmas in spite of opposition. In our nation, we're getting more and more backlash against Christmas. It's going to probably not get better. You're probably going to be celebrating Christmas with all kinds of trouble. There were political forces that opposed the Messiah's coming. In Matthew 2, the Bible made it very clear that Herod was jealous. Look again with me at Matthew 2, verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt. And when there was, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Thus was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Couldn't God have stopped Herod from killing all those baby boys? He certainly could have, but he chose not to. We all have suffering in our life, and we have forces that don't want us to celebrate Christmas. But our Lord breaks forth like a spotlight on a dark night, and we need to keep proclaiming his birth. Jesus did Christmas in the nick of time. I don't know if you understand this or not, but there was a time period when there was one language, which was probably the clearest language to translate from one language to another, and that was when Christ was born. The language was Koine Greek. It lasted from about 330 years before Christ's birth to about 330 years after his birth, and then it stopped being used as a language on the earth. The English language. If I say to you something like, man, I'm really cool, that can mean how many different things? It can mean, man, I'm really with it. You know, I'm cool. It can mean I'm cold. The English language would be a very difficult language to interpret to other languages because it's such a confusing language. Koine Greek was a unique language that had a specific word for every single thing. It was very difficult not to copy the Koine language to another language with the exact meaning. And God set that up. In Galatians 4, verse 4, it says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God also did Christmas for those who couldn't wait. There was a time when the Lord had made a promise to a man named Simeon that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25, we find the story. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. So Simeon, there wasn't much time for Simeon. He was getting older, but there was another older lady. Her name was Anna. She had been married 7 years and her husband died, and she spent the rest of her days worshiping and praising God. In Luke 2, verse 36, it says, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she was coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke of him to all of them that looked for redemption in Israel. And so the Lord did Christmas for people far away. There are people far away from the Lord, not just geographically, but also spiritually. We have the opportunity as God's children to take Christmas to both of those groups of people. As a church, we did it for many people with the Christmas Shoebox program. I forget which countries you mentioned that some of those had gone to. Do you remember which countries? South America and one Africa. Folks, you got a chance to spread the gospel. It's a wonderful ministry, and it's an active ministry, and people around the world heard the gospel. because in every one of those shoeboxes was a tract. And in every one of those tracts was instruction how to get further information about the Lord. And so, praise the Lord, we were able to do exactly what God wanted us to do. God did Christmas with lights and music. Both were involved. In Matthew 2, verse 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we've seen a star in the east and are come to worship him.'" Something very unique is going to happen on December 21st that hasn't happened until from 1226 AD. Anybody know what it is? Well, I don't know if it's Mars, but the Christmas star is going to appear. It's going to be just for a couple minutes, I think 45 minutes after sunset, December 21st, and it's the first time the alignment is back the same way it was when Jesus was born. But it hasn't happened from 1226 until now. And so hopefully it won't be cloudy. Maybe you'll get to see the light. Jesus came as the light of the world. In John 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." You get to share the good news of the light of Jesus Christ this time of year. And then lastly, God did Christmas with one big gift and a lot of extras. In John 3:16, we read it this morning, it's so important to read it again. Jesus is speaking. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." This Christmas season, you've got another golden opportunity to share the truth of Christ's birth, death, and resurrection. I can't encourage you enough. Don't let it pass you by. Be sure your families hear the truth. Will they all respond the way we wish they would? Probably not. But at least you gave them one more opportunity. Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for the promises found in it, Lord, that whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Help us, Lord, to pass the light that we have along. And Father, we're surely going to give you the praise now. In Jesus' holy name, amen.